From Spark and Anvil and Depth Quest, this is Drift, in Chapter 1 of the Depth Quest cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. 200 meters down, where the sun had thinned to a bruise-colored dusk, a small lanternfish switched off his own light and disappeared. Drift did it on purpose. He hung there in the dim water, his cobalt body gone dark, his belly spots dimmed to nothing, and he counted. 1, 2, 3. Above him, the last of the surface glow trembled and faded. Around him, the ocean held its breath. Then, because he could, he brought the spots back, a slow blue-green rise along his flanks, like a row of tiny windows lighting one by one at evening. The dark did not frighten him. The dark was where he made his own light. His ROV floated at his shoulder, a sleek little submarine no bigger than he was, its camera eye glowing faintly. He piloted it himself, deeper than his own body dared, into places where the water pressed and the light was only a memory. "Down here," he told it softly. He often talked to it, the way you talk to a friend who never interrupts. "The light comes from us." The glowing spots were called photophores. They were not magic, and they were not a trick of the eye. They were chemistry, folded into his skin, and he could brighten or dim them the way you might squeeze or ease your hand. To a lanternfish, they were as ordinary as breathing. To everyone at the surface, apparently, they were terrifying.
Drift had grown up in the Twilight Zone, in the long, dim lair that ran from 200 meters down to 1,000, the place scientists called the ocean's middle and everyone else called the scary part. His family were light keepers. For as long as anyone remembered, lanternfish like them had used their photophores to keep the great schools in time, blinking the rhythm that told 1,000 small bodies when to rise and when to sink. His grandmother had photophores worn faint with age, and she used to hang beside him at the edge of the light and name what he was afraid of. Because young Drift had been afraid once, not of the dark exactly, of how big it was, how much of it there was, pressing down and reaching up, more water than a small fish could ever hold in his mind. "You keep waiting for the dark to hurt you," his grandmother had said one evening, her old lights pulsing slow and steady. "But look, watch what the dark does when the sun goes." And he had watched. As the surface dimmed, the whole zone had begun to move. Lanternfish by the thousand, hatchetfish with their upturned mouths, clouds of krills so vast they blurred the water, all of them rising, all at once, climbing hundreds of meters toward the food-rich shallows. Their lights came on as they went, a slow storm of blue-green sparks flooding upward through the black. "That," his grandmother said, "is the largest journey any animals make on this whole planet, every single night, and it happens here, in the part they call empty." She had touched her light to his. "The dark isn't waiting to hurt you, little one. It's alive. You're afraid of the busiest room in the ocean." The fear had not vanished that night, but it had loosened, like a knot worked free. And in the space where it had been, a different feeling grew, a wide, quiet wonder that never left him afterward.
He walked into Depth Quest when he was 12, his photophores bright with nerves. Marlin met him, the great, slow mentor whose shadow filled the doorway, and asked the question the mentors always asked, plain and unhurried. "Drift, what is the Twilight Zone?" Drift could have listed facts. He knew them all. Instead, he found himself telling the truth. "It's 200 to 1,000 meters down," he said, "where the sunlight fades to almost nothing. By 1,000 meters, only a billionth of it is left. Too dim for plants, but not empty." He steadied his voice. "The animals there make their own light, bioluminescence, chemistry, not magic. Luciferin and luciferase mix together and the water lights up cold with no heat wasted. He paused. And every night, the whole zone rises to feed, then sinks again before dawn. It's the biggest daily migration on Earth. People think it's the scariest place in the ocean. It's really the most crowded. Marlin regarded him for a long moment in the dim. "Most fish give me the depths," he rumbled at last. "You gave me the wonder." He dipped his great head. "You are appointed."
Drift's corner of Depth Quest filled, over the years, with young makers who came to him spooked. A small silver hatchetfish drifted in one afternoon, hugging the shadows, eyes enormous and unhappy. "I don't like it down here," she admitted. "It's too dark. It feels like something's watching." Drift didn't tell her she was wrong. He remembered the bigness, the pressing dark. "Something is watching," he said instead, and dimmed his own lights until he'd nearly vanished. "Me. And I'm not scary." A pause in the black. Then, gently, he brought his photophores back up, one soft row at a time, until his whole body glowed. The little hatchetfish blinked in the blue-green light. "See? When it's darkest, that's exactly when the light shows up. It has to be dim for you to notice the glow at all." "But why do you glow?" she asked. "Lots of reasons." He made the spots pulse quick and rhythmic. "To find each other." He made them flare and cut out, to confuse a hungry fish, flash and gone, so it grabs the empty water where I was. He held a low, steady shine. "Every kind of animal down here has its own pattern, its own signature. It's not a horror show." His voice went soft and sure. "It's a room full of neighbors, all leaving the lights on for each other." The hatchetfish's huge eyes had stopped darting. She was watching the glow now instead of the dark. "Can I learn a pattern?" "You already have one," Drift said. "You just never watched for it in yourself."
Later, when the workshop had emptied and the water had gone from dusk blue to true dark, Drift hung alone at the edge of his zone and waited for the nightly rise. It came the way it always came. First a stirring far below, then the slow upward flood. Lanternfish and hatchetfish and krill at the countless thousand, their lights kindling as they climbed, until the whole black water was full of drifting blue-green sparks, more than any one small fish could ever count. He let himself go up with them, carried in the middle of the greatest movement on the planet, one glowing dot among a living galaxy of them. He thought of his grandmother, and the knot that had loosened, and the wide, quiet feeling that had grown where the fear used to be. It was still there. It rose in him now the way the schools rose, a warmth spreading up through his chest, an easing behind his ribs, a slow, steady gladness he felt all the way to the faint glow of his own dimmed lights. He was not afraid. He had never once been alone in the dark. He had only, for a while, forgotten to look. And now that he looked, the loneliest seeming place in the world turned out to be crowded with light. And he was part of it. And it was enough.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Drift. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.